Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
All right, everybody. And welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books and their movies and plays.
Their plays. Today we're covering Tuck Everlasting.
Yes, for your mid summer break
comparison. Episode. Yeah, that we typically do for you.
Yeah. So here it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any trigger warnings, I don't think, this time.
You didn't think that would Joy Luck Club.
That's why I'm verbally saying it right now, so you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess there is murder, but you know.
Yeah.
Or attempted murder.
No, there's murder.
I mean, there's murder, and then people try to shoot other people, and.
But it's, I don't know.
I don't think it's triggering.
Children's book.
Yeah, so. I don't think it's triggering, but you know, better safe than sorry, especially given our last one where we said no triggers and then we're like, and the baby died. Oh, I think we should have triggered that.
Yeah, exactly. Fair. All right. Well, let's do it. Okay, so we got a picture. We're not in the same room again. Last time I was so proud of us, our audio though, man, you wouldn't have known. Yeah.
I know. It's gotten way better. I really like this website, even if last time something went wonky, but.
Never would have known.
Yep. Never would have known.
Cool.
Wait, okay, you can't hear Loki right now?
You don't know. No, I cannot. I can barely hear you though. I need to get my headphone wires. Okay. I have to have Bree turned down so low because. She's like, I can hear my echo. And I'm like, well, I can't even hear you barely. So this will be interesting.
I'll be talking and I'll be like, yeah, sure. Okay. And then continue on.
Right. Whatever. I don't know what you said. Okay. Let's do it.
Let's.
Okay. So Winnie longs for life outside the control of her domineering mother. And when lost in the woods near her home, she happens upon Jesse Tuck, a boy unlike any she's ever met before. He and his family are kind and generous, and they immediately take her in as one of their own. However, the Tucks hold a powerful secret, and Winnie must decide whether to return to her life or stay with the Tucks.
And I guess we didn't fully explain that we also saw a children's play of this.
Mm-hmm.
Or I even guess it wasn't like a children. Yeah, because like the ensemble cast were the children mainly. But we saw a play of this at a local church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're also comparing that to this.
Yeah,
which is interesting because the play actually had a few differences.
I know, but I feel like almost the play stuck to it more than the movie did.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see how they did. So we have author Natalie Babbitt, director Jay Russell, screenplay writer Jeffrey Libier, and James V. Hart. I don't know who I had for audiobook reader.
I don't know who I had either.
Someone on Spotify. I couldn't figure out how to see who it was.
So the Tuck Everlasting, the musical play, was directed by Megan Hicks. Mm-hmm. Let me see if it has
my guess for like writer and stuff is I'm pretty sure people can go on a website and buy plays. So I don't know if it was necessarily written by anyone at the church.
Oh, that's probably it. Yeah. Well, what's funny is it says book by Claudia Shear and Tim Federal. And I'm like, that is not the
that
book.
That is not who it's by.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if that's who wrote this. Oh, maybe? Yeah. Because then it says based on the novel Tuck Everlasting by Natalie Babbitt.
I don't know.
So I bet that's who.
Maybe. All right. The book came out in 1975 and the movie came out October 11th, 2002. That's a 27-year difference.
Yeah.
And the play came out 2025.
Yeah. That's an even larger difference.
Yes. And what did you do first?
I saw the movie forever ago when it first came out.
I just read it first.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Nope, never seen it. Never read it. What are your thoughts on this plot?
I don't really have any thoughts on this plot. You know, like, it's a tale as old as time. Everyone always wants immortality. So, of course, that's kind of a plot point, right?
Right.
But, yeah, I'm, like, kind of mid about the story.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a cute story. It really felt like a middle school story that you would read in, like, English class in middle school. But I did not.
No, that's what surprises me, especially since you're like a teacher.
Right.
Like, I feel like this is something that would have been either taught in your teacher classes or something that you would have ended up.
I'm sure this one was. There was one of my children's literature classes where we all picked a book and then we had to do, like, we were in a group, small groups, and we did like a, like basically what a teacher would do. You get a book and then you do research and stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if this was one of the choices, but my group, that's when I read Ender's Game. That's what we chose.
Oh, I mean, that's a better choice.
I didn't know any of the books and I just joined a group. So that's what we chose. Not mad about it, but anyways. Yeah. So, I mean, I thought it was fine. Okay, so why did we pick this book/movie?
Because one of my mom's friend's nieces was in the play. And I thought that would be a fun little off-script field trip for Allie and I to do.
Yep. And it was.
Yeah, it was actually really fun. I had a good time.
I did too. It was cute. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have some Allie super fun facts.
Allie's super fun facts.
So one of the first scenes that was shot was the romantic kissing scene by the fire between Jesse Tuck and Winnie Foster. Jackson cast at the last minute had never met Bedell before shooting. That'd be so awkward.
That would be insanely awkward.
Why do they do that? Wouldn't you want your characters to get like your actors to get more comfortable so there might be like more spark, I mean, instead of it being awkward?
It kind of works for the story because it is kind of like a, your family is keeping me here. What are we?
I guess.
But the whole reason is shooting purposes and people's schedules and things like that.
Bananas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Number two. Actor Scott Bairstow, who's Miles, wanted to be in this movie so much he did it for free.
Wow. That's insane.
Like, why?
That's insane. Yeah. Like, well, I bet you they weren't going to cast him.
Probably not. Number three. Actor Jared Padalecki was offered the role of Jesse Tuck due to his and Alexis Bedell's on-screen chemistry on Gilmore Girls.
That would have been amazing.
Padalecki declined because he wanted to work with other people. I think that was probably because he was right about to start shooting Supernatural.
That makes sense. Yeah. But also, what a backhanded slap to Bledel.
I know. He's like, nah, I'm done with you.
Yeah. We're good as Dean and Rory, but not anything else. God.
Oh my gosh. Number four. The working title for this movie was The Everlasting Tux, but the director, Jay Russell, thought the original name would fit better. Why would they change it?
I was just going to say, well, no shit. I think this will fit the story better.
Right.
Maybe that's why they named it that for the book.
Right. And number five. This was the 184th live action film produced by Disney.
That's insane, wow. Actually.
I know. That's pretty crazy. Okie dokie.
Well, let's do it.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So May Tuck was going to go meet her boys like she did every 10 years. We get details of the town and the little river. And May was excited. She was so excited. She tried to wake up her husband. And she's getting ready to go. And he's like, are you sure this is wise? She's like, it's been 10 years. They won't recognize me in this town. And Tuck had let her know that he was having a dream where they were in heaven and never had to go back to this town again. And she said, stop dreaming. Nothing is going to change. And she got ready to leave. And the chapter ends by saying they've looked the same for 87 years. So I went into this not knowing the story at all. I had no idea what the story was about. And I was like, what? What's going on?
That's hilarious. I didn't even think about that. You didn't even know at all what this was about?
Nope. Nothing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know.
So the play basically did this. Mm-hmm. Well, the play actually showed us the Tux before and when they first found the spring first, and then they did this scene. And in the movie first, it starts in modern day when we see Jesse Tuck ride in on a motorcycle. And for a second, I was like, I don't remember this movie being modern day. What the heck is going on? And then I realized what was going on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think the movie or the play mentioned anything about, I've been having a dream about heaven.
I think the play might have. Okay. So. Okay. Winnie was very frustrated. She was 10 years old and she's just mad and wants to do her own thing. She's yelling at a frog when a man in a yellow suit walks up. He asks her how long they've lived there and she's like, forever. And then Grandma comes out and she tries to shoo the man away, but then they hear the elf music. She gets very excited. They all listen and the grandma and Winnie go inside and the man walks away whistling the elf song.
So in the play, Winnie's father is dead. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, he is not. Same with the book. And I think it's probably good that both play and movie. Although, no, the play did not. The play still kept her young. Play kept her at 11, though, right?
Yeah, she was still young. She was played by an older actress, but she was,
but she was supposed younger to be younger. Age.
Yeah.
In the movie, she's definitely a teenager.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, otherwise this would be creepier.
That was the weirdest part of the book. I was like,
and you kind of see a little bit more in both the play and the movie how Winnie's kind of trapped to what her parents' ideals are for her life. But then the rest of this happens.
So Winnie went into the woods and she stumbled upon a boy named Jesse. She talked to him and he says he's 104 years old and she laughs and says, really? He's like, okay, I'm 17. And then she went to take a sip of the water in the little stream that he had been drinking out of and he flipped out. He said, no, that's really bad idea. Don't do it. It's dangerous. But she insisted. And then his mom and brother came. And they understood right away what was going on. And they're like, well, this is the worst. The worst is about to happen. And they captured Winnie, brought her on their horses and took her away. And she was awfully calm, but worried at the same time. And May opened the music box and it was the same song she heard last night. And they sat down and were about to explain everything.
So in the movie and play, he doesn't tell her how old he is. He tells her I'm 17, then kind of makes a joke about being 17 still. And then she does try to take water and they do stop her in both of them. But then in both play and movie, mom isn't there when brother sees what Jesse's doing. Mm-hmm. Although they don't, they see what Jesse's doing and assume that he's telling her about the spring. And then they take her to Ma. And I feel like the movie did it in a very violent way. Like the brother like grabs her and throws her over his shoulder and throws her on the horse.
So the text explained everything about how that water is magic. So many times they should have died, but they never did. They noticed that everyone was growing old around them. So they needed to keep the water secret. Otherwise, bad things might happen. And the man in the yellow suit was listening in the woods.
Wait, what?
What?
So many times they should... Oh, how you just said that part just thoroughly confused me.
Oh, sorry. They should have died a lot, but they never did.
Yeah, for some reason, I thought it was... The Tux explained everything about how this water is magic so many times.
Oh.
Then it was the next part. And I was like, what? This is making no sense now.
Sorry.
In both the movie and the play, it kind of takes them a while before they explain to her what's going on with the water. Like in the play, it's like almost like they waited until a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
But other than that, yeah, I mean, the rest of that did happen.
Okay. When they got to their home, the boys jumped in the lake. And Angus came, so dad came. And genuinely was happy to see Winnie. May showed Winnie around the house and it was such a mess, but Winnie loved it because it's total opposite from what she is growing up. They explained that they stay in one place as long as they can, but they have to move before people get suspicious. The boys go to work everywhere around the world and they always meet up at the river the first week in August every 10 years.
Angus wasn't ever like super, super excited to see Winnie in the movie.
But not that I remember.
He was thrilled. It was really cute.
Yeah. I think he was worried. Yeah. Winnie wanted to go home and the Tux agreed. Angus wanted to talk to her first because before this whole thing fell apart. And it came out that they saw the man in the yellow suit passing by last night. And he said, let's go talk now and take you home as quickly as we can.
In the book and the play, this does not happen. Like, she wants to go home, and they're like, oh, I guess we could take her, but then they don't. They're like, yeah, you they have don't. To wait.
I don't think
you
they
have to make sure we trust you.
Yeah. Tuck took Winnie out to the water, and they had a chat about forever life, and he says everyone thinks it's great until you have it, and he wishes he didn't, which is why they need to keep that little stream a secret. One of the boys comes yelling and saying that their horse had gotten taken.
Yeah, this part doesn't happen in book or play or movie.
No.
Like, Tuck seems, or I guess Jesse, seems extremely happy to be living the life that he's living because he's going and seeing all these cool things and doing so many adventures and things like that. It's never this. I don't think you should really do this.
Right. I didn't put in here all the details about their story either, but one of the things about how they knew that everyone was aging was because their cat didn't drink the water and their cat aged and died.
Mm-hmm. Which is a difference because in the play, it was their horse that died.
Yes.
And their cat lived forever.
Yes.
Which is a... kind of a weird and random change to make.
Super weird. Yes. And then there's Riley over there. Because she came to watch it with us. And there was the frog. And I think the frog, I don't think they were the same person, but there was a frog and the cat.
No, it was the same person.
It was the same. Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
So the same actress or actor, I don't know.
Actress.
Actress played the frog and the cat, and Riley's like, I think the cat turned into the frog because they both have the same hair. And I'm like, Riley, it's just the same person playing both of them. They're not the same character. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Anyways, okay. So we have flashback to the man in the yellow suit, and he knocked on the door to tell the grandmother he knows where they took Winnie.
That does happen in both. Mm-hmm.
Winnie was in bed and she was still feeling flustered. Then came in Jesse and he said, since you live so close to the place, I want, what if you at 17 years old go drink the water? Then we can hang out and be like together forever. So he's like crushing on this 10-year-old. Ugh. And not only is he not really 17, he's like 100 and something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But do you think he still has like 17-year-old boy hormones?
I would assume, yeah. It's probably like Edward. He got frozen in time.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, goodness. Could you imagine being a 17-year-old boy forever?
I know, that would suck.
No offense, men out there, but...
Oh my gosh.
And then like this scene is weird in the movie because like Jesse is like very into telling Winnie all about Paris and the Eiffel Tower in both the play and the movie. Uh-huh. And in the movie he goes and builds her an Eiffel Tower out of rock, which I was like, what?
Oh yeah.
And then they climb it, which I again was like, what?
Right.
And then basically it turns into this whole romantic scene where Winnie and Jesse go swimming and then they end up having a fire at night and they dance around the fire. Like Jesse's doing music and she's just up dancing and then they start making out.
Yep. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the man in the yellow suit blackmailed Winnie's family. He said that I know where she is, but I want your woods. Sell me your woods and I'll give you information on where Winnie is.
And that happens in both the play and the movie.
Yes, it does. The man in the yellow suit spoke to the constable and let him know where to go. The constable was shocked that he found out that the Fosters, is that them, sold their woods. Because they live here forever and they were off and it was 20 miles away.
Yeah, that happens. Oh, wait, no. Okay, so this hold on. The constable never finds out, right? In the play from the man in yellow. He finds out from the family.
I think him and his little detective guy.
Oh, they knocked on the door while they were signing the paperwork. And then they didn't tell him. And then... I can't remember how they figured it out, but they figured it out. I think it was just because his little, who ends up being his son later on.
Yeah.
Realized like some fishy's going on here.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Winnie and Miles went out fishing and Miles told Winnie all about his life before he was cursed. He had a family and two kids and his wife thought that
Huh? I only said what was different with the play because in the movie, there's no constable.
You're right.
No, it's just her family and the man in the yellow suit.
What a difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now continue.
Okay. So Miles was telling Winnie all about his life before he was cursed and he had a family and two kids, but his wife thought he had sold his soul to the devil because he's not getting older. And so she took the kids and left and they'd be about 80 years old right now. And they caught fish, but Winnie wanted to throw it back. So he did.
In the movie and play, Winnie and Miles never go fishing. In the play, Miles does tell Winnie about his life, but he only had a son and a wife. And in the movie, correct me if I'm wrong, but other characters tell her about Miles's family, right? Not Miles.
I don't remember. You've seen it more than me.
I'm pretty sure it was other family members who told his story.
Okay.
For him. Because he didn't like Winnie at all in the movie. And I feel like there was no real redemption arc there until the end when he's like, oh, you want to help my ma? All right.
Right. So they're back at the house eating and then there's a knock at the door and it's the man in the yellow suit. He let them know he knows about the stream because his grandma took in his a wife and two kids, and they claimed their husband and his family never got older. He let them know that he wants to involve the Tucks in a money-making scheme to sell the water in the stream. They called him crazy and ridiculous. And he said, fine, keep being poor. And then he grabbed Winnie to leave. May smacked him in the head with a shotgun, and the constable saw.
In the play, this happens. In the movie, the man in the yellow suit does come to their lands, but he's basically coming to be like, these are my lands. Show me where the spring is, not let's make money together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then, so she does hit him in the head with a gun rather than shoot. For some reason, I thought she shot him.
No. They do the shot like they did in the play where to prove that they don't die.
Don't die. Yep. In the movie, Ma picks up a rock and hits him over the head with a rock. And again, the constable did not see it. And this is when, in the movie, the cops are coming because the man in the yellow told Winnie's parents about where Winnie was. So they sent a whole herd of freaking cops to go find her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Ma and Pa get arrested because they also told their sons to run. They told their sons and Winnie to run.
Okay. So the constable had them take the man in the yellow suit inside, and he took May to the station and he took Winnie home. He let them know if the man dies that May will get hung. That's interesting that they're he's take this man inside instead of get him to a doctor.
Yeah. That's
it's
true.
Especially I'm since he just got hit over the head.
Dude, he does die.
Yeah. Wow. That's hilarious. I didn't even think about that.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Well, in the play and the movie, they made it she hit him hard enough where it was obvious right then. They're like, oh yeah, you're dead. But right. Apparently the book did not care about that.
I guess so. That's funny. Winnie was laying in bed and she heard the constable come and talk to her parents and let them know that they can't press kidnapping charges because Winnie says she wasn't kidnapped. Also, the guy died, so they're going to have to hang this lady and they don't have to give their land away.
In the movie, don't they end up pressing the kidnapping charges? Something's different with this in the movie, and I remember I was like, what the fuck? Did I make a note of that? Hold on. Actually, no, I think my next note is about everything that happens later.
I don't remember. You're supposed to do the movie notes. I just watched the movie.
But yeah, and then in the play, she does say, no, they did not kidnap me. They're my friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was it in the play? Because she wasn't going to get hung. This whole part was different because there was no breakout or anything.
Yeah, you're right. No, what they ended up doing was, in the book, when we get further into it, Winnie says, sorry, Loki's doing something. I was trying to watch him. I was like, what the fuck is he doing? Winnie tells them, I did it. I'm who killed the man in the yellow suit. And so then in the play, the son of the constable was like, so we could say that she was acting in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
And basically gets her off scot-free because she was acting in self-defense.
Okay, so Winnie wanted to do something to help May, but she had no idea what to do. She's playing in the yard and she saw Jesse come. He let her know that they're going to break their mom out of jail, but they're not going to have a lot of time because the constable will notice because he's been constantly watching her. He gave her some spring water and said, drink it when you're 17 and come find us. We'll leave you clues. Winnie had the idea of taking May's place in jail, which will give them more time. Jesse agreed and said to meet him at midnight.
So in the movie, Jesse comes to her in the middle of the night, freaking out because Ma is going to get hung and everyone will know because she won't die. And so then Winnie's like, I have a plan. And so she runs to the jail, banging on the door, crying, and is like, they're coming back to kidnap me. And is all sad because in the movie, she never says, no, they weren't kidnapping me. And right. the reason she didn't is because to keep this going for this part of the movie that they changed for some reason. So then the two sons come to the jail to like make it seem like they're trying to kidnap her with guns so that the police there have to come out and defend them. The police come out and shoot them, and then they stand back up like, ooh, look at me. Well, Winnie runs in to let the parents go free.
So Winnie and her family sat in the parlor, and it was one of the hottest days ever. And she talks to her grandma about Frog because she has this little frog friend that at the beginning of the movie she was yelling at and everything like this. Or beginning of the book and movie and play. Mm-hmm. And so she wanted to get a drink of water, and grandma's like, frogs don't drink through their like from their mouth, they drink through their skin. And finally she went to bed and shut her window, and because it looked like it was going to rain. So Winnie lay there nervously about how her family would trust her again, but after she helps the Tucks, but she calmed down, and then it was 5 minutes to midnight, so off she went.
This part doesn't happen in the book. Nope. Or play.
So they went to the jail cell, and it was a little tougher to undo the latches than they had thought, but eventually they were able to, hiding the sound with the thunder, and they all hugged Winnie goodbye, and Jesse whispered, remember, and she hops into the jail cell, they lock her up in the with the thunder clap, and they leave.
Essentially, this happens, except for it takes Jesse a hot minute to leave her in the movie. They, like, have this long conversation while everyone else is getting in their horse-drawn cart, and he's like, I wish you could come with us. And she's like, oh, I wish I could too. And then he's like, remember to drink the water when you're 17. Mm-hmm. In the play, this doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't, because they're not breaking her out.
Yeah.
So it's now been 2 weeks, and Winnie just keeps thinking about the whole thing. And she went to the constable, and the constable was pissed off, but she didn't care because they hadn't been caught. And she was sitting in her room with her little toad friend outside the wall. And a dog comes and tries to nip at it. And she yells at the dog and grabs the toad. And then she pours the magic water on it. And it's alive forever. And she lets it go.
She never pours it on the frog in the movie.
No, she didn't.
And I thought she was going to, which was weird because she also had it at the spring. So she went to the spring when she had a vial of her own water. And she was playing with the spring water.
Yes.
And then didn't give it to her frog. And in the play, they obviously didn't do their research because frogs can drink, or frogs in the play, the frog drank the water.
Yes,
didn't just
it did.
Pour it on her. But I guess, yep. You know, whatever, it's a play.
Yes. Didn't want to pour water on people, I guess.
Yeah.
So now years and years have passed, and the Tucks came back to their little town, but it was all changed now. The forest was gone, and they decided to go sit for a little coffee, and they slyly asked about the forest and the little creek, and the server said he didn't know anything about the creek, but the forest got hit with a lightning storm, so they had to bulldoze it down. They walked around town, and they discovered the cemetery, and in the cemetery, they found Winnie, and she was about 80 years old when she died, and she was a wife and mother. Tuck was happy, but also very sad, and they felt sad for Jesse, even though he knew a long time ago she wasn't coming. And on their way out of town, they saw a toad almost get killed by a truck. They moved it off the side of the road.
So in the movie, only Jesse comes to her headstone. And in the play, goddamn, it was way more sad. We actually got to see, like, Winnie's whole life.
It was so sad.
I know. I was like, okay, she married the constable's son. Then they had a kid. And then her grandma died. And then her mom died. And then her kids grew up. And her kid got married. And they went through, like, so much. I was like, why?
I know, it was sad, but
this is
really
a sad ending. Yeah, like it gave the character more depth, and I mean, we had already been with this character for so long, so it only made sense to see her go through the rest of her life, but it was sad.
Yes, I agree. And that's it.
We did.
That would be so cool to like be alive so long that you go through so many
different
changes of like you know, the 1900s, and then, you know, now there's technology, and now, like, all this sort of stuff.
I know. It would. Cool. I just feel like it would be weird as all hell.
It really would.
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't know. It would be kind of cool.
Allie's like, I want this spring.
I don't think I do. No, that sounds awful. But that aspect of it would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, that is true. I feel like we are lucky in the era that we grew up in, because being from the 90s, we were right on the cusp before computers became a household item. Like, I remember getting my first computer. So we knew what it was like before the technology that we have now. So I feel lucky being in this generation. Because we do kind of get, I mean, it's obviously not as drastic as the tucks get, but I feel like we get the...
Oh, totally. It's that Gen X that gets it even more. Yeah, that was it. That's what we got for you.
Yeah. This is a nice short one.
I love it.
I know. Those are the best. Yep.
I was re-listening to all of our recaps, you know, so that I could figure out our favorite movie book episodes. And in season one, I think it was one or two. No, season one. We're talking about how, because my favorite episode to record was Cujo, because I loved that we recorded in my room and Clutch was there. And so it was like, we talked about how we had to cut a lot of, because we were talking to Clutch, like, oh, Clutch, hi, Clutch, trying to get him to talk.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, we cut a lot out. And you said, yeah, it was a 3-hour record. So we got it down to 2.5 hours. I'm like, holy cow. I can't believe it. But yeah, that's how we used to. We went in with so much detail. Our freaking records were so long.
I still think, depending on the book and how the adaptation is, it gets on the longer side when there's a lot of differences.
Right. But
I also think we've realized, because we used to like go into detail about every aspect of the movie.
Yeah.
Whereas I think we've learned that it's better to just be like, this didn't happen like this, it happened like this. And then move on, rather than like, but then they do end up going together and getting this together and doing that together.
Right. But we've figured it out, so we aren't drolling. And then again, that was before we did minisodes back in season one. So then who knows how long we talked about whatever we talked about at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And in the middle of it, because we would go on tangents too. Something would make us think of something else.
Oh my gosh.
We'd go on.
All right. Anyways. All right. Let's do some cast. So we got 52 people were cast for this movie. Do you have the flyer? You can list. We can do the.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Play cast, I do. Too. Okay, we'll do the movie first. So we have Alexis Bledel played Winnie.
Oh, I love her as Winnie.
I think she was so cute.
Yeah, she really was. This was prime. I almost said Golden Girls. Not Golden Girls.
Gilmore Girls
era. And so I remember being so excited, because I think she got this before she got the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is another adaptation.
All right. And then we have William Hurt played Angus Tuck.
I love William Hurt.
Yeah, it was good. He did good.
I just realized he's a... Fuck, I can't remember his name in the host. He's the one who's nice to her.
Yep, that's where I saw him before.
I like him. When you said it, it clicked for me. Watching him, I was like, oh, I just love that actor. But right now I was like, oh, that's who you are.
Yep. All right. Then we got Sissy Spacek. Spapek?
Sissy Spacek.
Spacek. Played May. Mama Tuck.
A.K.A.? Carrie.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. one of my videos for my reactions is, of course, Carrie's in
this. Oh my gosh.
I thought she did good though. Mm-hmm.
All right, then we got Jonathan Jackson played Jesse.
Tell me why. I really thought it was someone else who played Jesse the whole time until I started the movie. So
I don't know who this kid is either.
You should go and pull up a Google bar right now, Allie, and type in Eric Von Deaton, D-E-T-T-E-N. That's who I thought this was, because it was the 90s. And so in my head, I was like, oh, duh, they cast like one of the popular heartthrobs of the time. And I put this kid into it. E-R-I-K. Von.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Princess Diaries. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The whole Story? Who was he in time? Like preparing for watching this movie, the whole time I kept envisioning this kid. And I was like, duh, it's him. So then when the movie started and it wasn't, I was like, wait, why did I think it was him? So that's who I recast.
Okay, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Bairstow, Miles.
Yeah, he was good.
And he there was a constable. Free. Sorry.
Oh, there was.
He must just not have been a main character.
Probably. He was probably the one at the jail.
Huh?
When she goes, he's probably the one at the jail when she goes and runs to him to help break Ma and Pa out.
All right, we got Ben Kingsley as the man in the yellow suit.
He does great at everything he does.
I love him so much. We just finally rewatched the third Iron Man, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's so funny.
He's great in that one.
Oh my gosh. All right, Amy Irving. Oh my gosh.
Irving?
Sure. Played mom.
She did
for Winnie.
Yeah, she did good.
Yep. Victor Garber played dad.
I love him in everything.
I know.
He's such a good actor. Except for what's funny is he's a good actor, but he's the kind of actor that you don't know his name. You just know his face.
Yes. He's from Legally Blonde, right?
Yes. Thank you. That's where I remember him from.
Yes. Okay.
That's hilarious. All right. So for the play, playing Winnie Foster is Alex, who... In all honesty, I really feel like the play casts the story better than the movie did. Like, I would almost
recast. Yeah, I think so, too. The play, oh my gosh, they were so good.
Mm-hmm. They were spot on. And so I would literally almost put that whole cast in the movie rather than who's in the movie. But obviously, we can't do that.
They were just so cute. And so, obviously, it's a play, so it's a musical. And they all sang, like, so great. I was, like, in awe. Because I went in expecting it to be like a children's play.
Yeah.
And they were adults acting and they were just so good. It was so cute.
It really was. And they freaking killed it.
Yeah.
For Jesse Tuck, we have Howie.
He did good.
Really good.
Mm-hmm. He looked so familiar to me.
He looked really familiar to me, too.
He is a doppelganger of someone famous. I just don't know who.
Yeah, to me, he looked like, I don't know his name. He is the character, he's the actor who they put in the Star Wars Survivor video game,
I don't know.
He was in Shameless. I don't know how you would know him.
Okay.
You should Google Star Wars Shameless actor. I don't know how you know
him. Where would I know him from? He was in The Giver.
Oh, holy fuck. He's the best friend.
Yeah.
He's the one who's sad when he's leaving. Well, that's how you know him.
Yeah, I know him now.
That's who I pictured when I first saw him. I was like, oh,
yeah, he looked good. He looked, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He did good.
For Miles Tuck, we have JJ. I thought he did really good, too.
He did really good.
Yeah, he was a good jerk who then turned soft. And then for May Tuck, we have Angel. And, this is her debut.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. She did really good.
She did. We were saying how we could tell she was nervous, but as she kept going through the play, she wasn't anymore.
Yeah. It was nice to see. She did really good. Then for Angus Tuck, we have Adam. Mm-hmm. He was hilarious. He was really good.
He was so good. Mm-hmm. He like nailed all the lines and everything.
Yeah, he's great with the comedic timing.
Uh-huh.
For Betsy Foster, who is Winnie's mom, it was Christine. And she was great. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then for Winnie's grandma, that was Nadine. She was really good too.
Oh, yeah. She was super cute.
She was funny. Yeah. Uh-huh. She had some good lines.
Yep.
Constable was played by Calvin, who literally for me stole the show.
Yes. He was so good.
He was hilarious. Anytime it was a scene with him and his partner, I died. I was so excited. I was like, oh, their songs are always hilarious. They play well. Oh my gosh, well their song is so other.
Cute.
Oh, it was so good. And yes. Then his partner, Hugo, was played by Reagan, who, again, I think he really just helped the constable stand out, which then in my mind means that he also stood out.
Yes.
Like, they were just so great. They played well off of each other.
Yeah.
And then the man in the yellow suit was played by Evan. And
oh, my gosh.
He fantastic. Was fantastic as the
oh, we didn't say that. Suit. So the man in the yellow suits, like, cover was that he was the leader of a circus.
Oh, yeah.
In the play.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there was just no circus in the book. But it was so cute. They had so many cute songs with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then like the circus was in town and the kids wanted to go to the circus and yeah. It was good.
It was cute.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool.
We did it.
Mm-hmm. So is the theme of the book, the movie, the play the same?
Yes.
Yep. Do the characters stay true in the movie and the play and how they're written in the book?
Yes.
Other than Winnie's age in the movie, yeah. I think they're the same. Yeah.
But I'm glad for that difference.
Yes, I agree. And what do you prefer, the book, the movie, or the play?
I prefer the play.
Me too.
I loved it so much. It was so cute.
Yeah, I think I really liked the musical part of it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the music helped. There were some numbers, kind of like how I feel with all musicals, where I was like, ugh, can we be done with this song already? But there weren't a lot of them. It was typically the like slow, sappy songs. Get me back to the more upbeat ones. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was really cute.
So cute. I loved it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you recommend it to a friend?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I for sure would recommend the play.
For sure. Yeah. Sadly, they're not doing it anymore, but yes.
No, they're not. I would recommend this church play because they do one every year and they were so good. Oh, yeah. I bet every play they do is amazing and I want to go back. Awesome.
Sorry, Loki is fucking clawing my screen right now.
No, you're fine.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So... well, let's see. Sneak peek. That's where we're at.
Guys, we have a website. It is offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
And on that website, you can rate, subscribe, review. You can watch YouTube videos. You can see our favorite theory. You can subscribe to our newsletter.
Yeah. You can
see
what's
coming up for season 7.
You can sign up to help us spread the word by dropping off bookmarks in little free libraries.
Our website's pretty awesome. Don't be fooled by the Wixsite.com part of it.
We work hard on the rest of it.
We do. We just don't want to pay for a domain.
Yeah, we don't have that kind of money yet.
but highly suggest going to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're on break.
Yeah. So we'll see you in August.
Yes. First week in August. What day is that?
Good question. I feel like it's like
August.
Is it the first?
No, August 4th.
Wow. I was off.
Not by many. August 4th. We kick back with
Children of Men.
Did you say Children of the Men?
No, I said Children of Men.
Oh. Oh, okay. I heard Children of the Men. I'm like,
that is not what it's called.
You got some Borat accent in there.
Hell yeah.
That's what happens when I don't have headphones on. I can't hear crap.
That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, that's it.
That is it, guys. We did it. Okay. Happy summer.
Yes. We'll see you later.
Yeah.
All right. With that, tuck everlasting. Went off script.
Bye.
Bye.
That was really good.
Okay. Sounds great.
Although, did you listen to the Joyluck one?
Yeah.
Where it literally, we did not say it on time. You were right.
Oh, I must have. I had to have finished it. I think I was like multitasking. I didn't pay attention. Because it didn't sound like we said it on time right now either.
Oh, fuck.
It's okay. That's what happens when we're not in the same room.
Yep. All right.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.